Well, thank you, Jim Stutzman. Yes, this afternoon in our Paris studios, we're visiting with four young men. And if I just mention their first names, such as Paul and George and Ringo and John, I doubt if you'd know about whom we're speaking. But if I said we're here this afternoon with the Beatles, and if we were in England, I think we'd get a great big rousing hurrah, wouldn't we, boys? Well, let's see. We have, to my right here, we have Paul McCartney. Now, Paul, could you tell us, how did the Beatles get going? How did you start?
That's a funny story, really. It was back, you know, it was back in the old days. We were all at school together, really, you know, we grew up at school, teenage buddies and things. But, I don't know, you know, it developed from there, really.
Well, did you sing together around school?
Yeah, we were, George and I were at school together, and John was at the school next door, and Ringo was at Butlin's. And we, you know, we just started playing guitars and things. And it went on from there, really, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, you say those were the olden days. Now, within the past year, you have mushroomed and tremendously, almost out of sight and such popularity. What was the click? What levered this great rage for the Beatles?
Well, it's funny, really, now you mention that. But I think it was the Palladium show, you know, the television show in England. And then following Hot in the Footsteps, and we had the Royal Variety Command Variety Performance. It's difficult to say that, actually. No, Royal Variety Command Performance for the Queen Mother, you know. Mm-hmm. And it all came up from there, really. The national newspapers got hold of it, and they got hold of Ringo, you know. And Mike Brown found about it, yeah. There's a lot of things, you know, a lot of columnists and things got onto the idea and started calling it Beatle Mania.
Well, let's ask a question here with George Harrison. George, what is the status of rock and roll in England today? Is that what you call your music?
No, not really. We don't like to call it anything, but the critics and, you know, the people who write about it, you know, they have to call it something. So they didn't want to say it was rock and roll because rock's supposed to have gone out about 5 years ago. And so they decided it wasn't really rhythm and blues. So they decided to call it Liverpool, the Liverpool sound, which is, you know, it's stupid, really, because as far as we were concerned, it was just, you know, the same as the rock from 5 years ago.
Well, can you describe Liverpool sound, then?
Oh, it's more like the old rock. It's just, you know, everything's a bit louder, more bass and bass drum. And everybody sort of sings loud and shouts, and that's it.
Well, is the Liverpool sound, then, the sound in the UK today, in England?
Yeah, well, that's, you know, it's all the records now. Everybody's sort of making records in that style.
Well, let's ask Ringo here. Now, you're the drummer. We caught your act at the Olympia the other evening. How long have you been beating those skins?
Oh, about 5 years now. I've been with the boys about 18 months now. With other groups before that. Uh-huh. So that's 5 years.
Since you boys have gained your current popularity, have there been many other organizations trying to imitate you or perhaps take the thunder away from you? Let's ask John Lemon this.
Well, I suppose a couple of people have jumped on the railway carriage. I mean, the bandwagon. But it doesn't really matter, you know, because it's flattery and it sort of promotes the whole idea of us, if we're away and there's a few little Beatles still going to remind people of us.
Well, Paul, let's go back to you for a moment. When anyone ever sees your pictures, the first thing that strikes them is naturally your hairdo. You've been referred to or her don't. Yeah. Some people have written as though you were having the sheepdog cut, or perhaps an early Caesar. What do you call it, and how come you cut it that way?
Well, you know, Bob, to us it just sort of seems a natural thing, really, because it all arose, this. We came out of the swimming baths one day, and, you know, hair sort of flops about after the swimming baths. Well, it stayed that way, you see. Nobody bothered to comb it. Mm-hmm. And it sort of stayed in the style, so we've never really called it anything. I don't know, until the papers got hold of it, and they called it the Beatles style, so, you know,
suppose we go along with them now, really.
Do you go to the barber at all?
Well, you know, now and then, and do and don't.
Just to keep it trimmed, huh?
Yeah, just to keep it trimmed. But sometimes we do it ourselves, you know. Yeah, the other thing is that it's really only our eyebrows that are growing upwards. That's, yeah.
Well, we've been told that in England today there's this Beatlemania going on. Now, what do you describe? What would you say Beatlemania is? That all the girls scream whenever they see you and they perhaps faint waiting in line? Let's be immodest a moment. What is the attraction, huh?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's like dressing gown. George's dressing gown is definitely a big attraction.
No, yeah, I don't think any of us really know what it is. We've been asked this question an awful lot of times, but we've never been able to come up with an answer yet, because I think it's a collection of so many different things, like happening to be there at the right time, at the right moment, at the wrong place. A little bit of originality in the songs, a little bit of a different sound. I don't know, it's an awful lot of things, maybe the gimmick of the haircut as well. The luck, getting into the national press at the right time. So it's an awful lot of luck.
All these things and more.
Well, you mentioned songs. Now, I understand you boys write your own material.
John and I write them. This is Paul speaking. John,
yes,
and I write
Paul,
them.
Yes. Well, how do you think of an idea? Do you get together regularly, or an idea pops in your mind, you say, let's sit down and do it?
If an idea does pop in your mind, then you do sit down and say, let's do it, yeah. But if there's no ideas, and say we've got to, we've been told we've got a recording date from about 2 days' time, then you have got to sit down and sort of slog it out. But you normally get, first of all, just a little idea, which doesn't seem bad. You go on, and then it builds up from that. So it varies every time, though, really, you know.
Well, Paul, we've seen you here at the Olympia. Can you compare the French audience with what you're familiar with back in England?
Well, there's a lot of difference, because in England, you see, the audience is 75% female. Here, 75% male. And that's the main difference, really, because you get, they still appreciate it, but you don't get the full noise and the atmosphere of a place.
No screams.
No screams and fainting. Why is it 75% boys?
I don't know, but I think they don't let the girls out at night in France. One of the reasons.
I think it's your dressing
room. Somebody said that they still have to have chaperones, a lot of them, you see. Whereas in England, they're out. You know,
the boys, like.
Yeah, and it's funny, it's the same in Germany. All the boys, you know, like the rock, and it's usually the same on the continent. I don't really know why.
Well, Paul, we see the I Want to Hold Your Hand as number one on the hit parade, and we have a copy of it here right now. So let's sit back for a moment and listen to it. How did you come to write that, I Want to Hold Your Hand?
Let's see. We were told, this was one of the songs that we were told we definitely had to get down to it, we had to get working. So we went and we found, it was an old disused house that we found, and we were just sort of walking along with it. We just thought, we've got to really get this song going. So we got down in the basement of this disused house, and there was an old sort of piano there. It wasn't really disused, you know, it was sort of rooms to let. We found this old piano. And we started banging away there, and we stayed there. And there was a little old organ there too. So we were just having this sort of informal jam session down there, and we started banging away. And suddenly, just a little bit came to us. I think it was just sort of the catch line, and so we started working on it from there. And we got our pens and paper out, and we just wrote the lyrics down. And eventually, you know, we had some sort of a song. So we went back and we played it over to our recording manager. And he seemed to like it, you know, so we recorded it the next day.
Do all your songs have a basic theme or story or message?
No.
Well, that's a quick, well,
that was a quick answer. they don't, but there's one thing that nearly always seems to run through our songs. People always point it out to us. That's the I and you and me is is always seems to be in the title, you know, I Want to Hold Your Hand, She Loves You, and Love Me Do, and things like this. Well, I think the reason for that, really, is that we nearly always try and write songs which are a little bit more personal than others, you see. So by having these prepositions, whatever you call them, I and me and you, in the title, makes the songs a little bit more personal. But I think that's the only sort of basic message that does run through our songs.
And you coined this, yeah, yeah, yeah. Isn't that really sweeping England right now, the phrasing, yeah, 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 on all the songs?
Yeah, well, that was the sort of main catchphrase from She Loves You. But we stuck that on. We'd written the song nearly, and then we suddenly needed more, so we had yeah, yeah, yeah. And it caught on, you know, they used it for, you know, if you're going to be with it or hip.
It's sort of a trademark for you boys now.
Yeah, we'll have to write another song with it.
Well, Paul, what do you think of your trip to the States? I understand that in about a week or 10 days you're going to be on the Ed Sullivan Show. Could you tell us about it?
Yeah, that's right. We're going to do Ed Sullivan Show in New York, and we're taping one for later release or something. And we're looking forward to those. Then we go down to Florida, Miami. Can't wait. And we do another Ed Sullivan there. But I think before that, we do a Carnegie Hall, don't we?
Yeah.
That was, yeah. A play on Carnegie Hall.
How were you selected for Ed Sullivan? Was he in England? Caught your act or something?
Well, when we were flying back, this is the story we heard. We were arriving from Stockholm into London Airport, and at the same time, the Prime Minister and the Queen Mother were also flying out, but the airport was just overrun with teenagers. You know, there were thousands of them waiting for us to get back. And Ed Sullivan was supposed to have arrived at that time and wondered what was going on. And, you know, he found out it was us arriving. And also our manager went over to the States with another singer called Billy J. Kramer. And he did a couple of TV shows over there. And while he was over there, our manager got the bookings with Ed Sullivan. But he'd also heard of us from this London Airport thing. And that's about it.
And how about a movie? Is there a movie in the future?
Yeah. We've been asked by United Artists to do a feature movie.
Be dramatic or just strictly wrapped around your singing?
Oh, we don't know yet, really, what it's going to be like. I don't think we'll have to do an awful lot of acting. I think it'll be written round the sort of people that we are, and there'll be four characters in it, very like us.
Well, do you plan to compose two or three songs specifically for the film?
Well, actually, we've got to compose six songs specifically for the film. We've got to get down to that, too. Another job.
Then you boys really haven't had much of a chance to see Paris, have you?
No, not really.
Not really, no.
What do you think of it so far?
Well, it's nice, quite nice, you know.
How about the French girls compared to the British girls?
Well, we haven't seen any yet.
John?
Yeah, well, I'm married. I don't know. Didn't notice them.
Oh, we'll go back to Paul then.
Yeah, I think they're great.
Well, you're single.
Yeah, well, I think the French girls are fabulous. Yeah.
Well, we have seen more French boys than French girls. So, I mean, you know, we can't really tell.
Well, perhaps when you get to the Ed Sullivan Show, there'll be more girls for you.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Any of you been to America before?
Yeah, me. I went in September for a holiday for 3 weeks.
Just George Harrison. Well, I see our time is up, boys, and thank you very much, Beatles, for being our guest on AFN this afternoon on Weekend World. So it's on the line. Back to you, Jim, from Paris.